We're beginning the third chapter of James with verse 1. My brethren, be not many masters, knowing that we shall receive the greater condemnation. Now this follows the exhortation in chapter 2 to show your faith by your works. So he urges humility to begin with. And this is one of the indications that a person really knows the Lord. Any person who ever met the Lord in the Scriptures was a humble man as a result of it. So this is one of the ways that we show our faith by our works. The word masters here means teachers, and we, of course, shows that James includes himself. This is unavoidable. If we're going to take the place of leading the people of God, we may expect greater condemnation. As he says here, such shall receive the greater condemnation. I take this to be condemnation at the hands of our fellow Christians. Not condemnation for God, because we're told in Romans 8 and 1, there is therefore now no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus. Our sins are forgiven. But we are condemned by our fellow Christians when we attempt to take a place of leadership. Now he introduces a new subject, the subject of the tongue, that is, the control of our speech. For in many things we offend all, or we would say in modern English, in many things we all offend. The word offend means to stumble. If any man offend not in word, the same is a perfect or mature man, and able also to bridle the whole body. Now this tells us immediately that the most common source of stumbling or offending others is the tongue. If you could control your tongue, you would give indication of being a mature Christian in every other way. Now, he gives us four illustrations of this. First of all, he tells us that the tongue is like bits to a horse's mouth. In many things we offend all. If any man offend not in word, the same is a perfect man, and able also to bridle the whole body. Behold, we put bits. The bits are attached to the bridle, you see. We put bits in the horse's mouth that they may obey us, and we turn about their whole body. Now the tongue needs a bridle on it. If you can't control it yourself, perhaps you need to give that control over to the Lord himself, because your tongue will lead your whole body astray. Just as a horse who is not bridled in, not held in with bit and bridle, is liable to go any direction. Then he gives the illustration in verse 4 of the ships, which though they be so great and are driven of fierce winds, yet are they turned about with a very small helm or rudder, whithersoever the governor listeth. Now you govern the motion of the ship, the direction of the ship, by a rudder. And so he's telling us here that the tongue will govern the whole life. Your whole course will be affected by your tongue, by what you say. You can say something that will lose you your job tomorrow. You can say something that will offend your husband or wife. You can say something that will blast you in the community where you're living. One wrong sentence, and you may be finished. Well, you say, I don't feel that I can take this responsibility. All right? He says, it's turned about with a very small helm, whithersoever the governor listeth. Maybe you ought to decide who's the governor. That is, the captain of the ship. When the Lord Jesus told Peter where he could catch fish, Peter said, at thy word, master, we will let down the net. The word for master there is the word captain. He said to the Lord, you're the captain of this ship. No ship was ever lost where the Lord Jesus was the captain. Put it into his hands. Let him control that tongue of yours. Then he says it's like a fire out of control. Even so, the tongue is a little member and boasteth great things. Behold, how great a matter a little fire kindleth. And the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. So is the tongue among our members, that it defileth the whole body, and setteth on fire the whole course of nature, and is set on fire of hell. I can't think of any worse words to use to describe the condition of the human tongue. God says it gets its fire from hell itself. And this, of course, refers back to Satan's use of his tongue and his inducing evil in the human race by the use of his tongue. Now, if you've got a fire out of control, it ruins everything. Fire under control can be a great servant to man. This tongue of yours needs to be under the control of one who can handle it. Then he says it's like a wild beast. For every kind of beast and of birds and of serpents and of things in the sea is tamed and hath been tamed of mankind. But the tongue can no man tame. It is an unruly evil full of deadly poison. It is like a wild beast, untamed, not to be trusted, poisonous like some of the serpents. And yet, the Lord Jesus perfectly controlled the beasts. There was a donkey that had never been ridden that was brought to him, and he sat on it while they went through the turmoil of the traffic of the streets. He caused the fish to come up to get on Peter's hook when it was needed. He caused the whole school of fish to get into the nets of the disciples. The Lord can control all the wild animals, including your tongue and mine. Now, from verses 9 to 12, he discusses the dual nature here. Notice, this could be true only of believers. According to Galatians chapter 5, we have two natures within us, the nature with which we were born, the fallen nature, called the flesh, and the new nature, which is the result of the Holy Spirit's presence within every believer. Now, this is not a split personality. Don't worry about this. This is simply God saying that he has given us a new nature which we never had before, the life of God in our beings with God's very nature. And so he tells us in verse 9, therewith, that is, with the tongue, bless we God, even the Father, and therewith curse we men, which are made after the similitude of God. Out of the same mouth proceedeth blessing and cursing. My brethren, these things ought not so to be. He doesn't say they can't be. He doesn't say they won't be. He says they ought not to be. Doth a fountain send forth at the same place sweet water and bitter? Well, I've never seen a fountain like that, except the human tongue. That's because there are two sources. Can the fig tree, my brethren, bear olive berries? Two things as different as this, one so sweet and one so bitter. Either a vine, figs, so can no fountain both yield salt water and fresh. Now, we do have these two natures. What can we do about it? Well, you need help from God to hold the reins of this wild horse, to guide the rudder of the ship, to extinguish the fire, to produce this steady flow of blessing that should be always sweet and never bitter. The Lord can do this. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. If you're a Christian, are you putting into your heart what ought to be there to produce this good flow of sweet water from the tongue? If you're not a Christian, you only have the one source, and nothing good can come out of your heart. That's what the Lord tells us in the 7th chapter of Mark. Out of the heart proceed all these evil things and defile the man. Now, in verses 13 and 14, he asks us to face up to the facts. Don't live a lie. Don't pretend. He says, who is a wise man and endued with knowledge among you? Let him show out of a good conversation his works with meekness of wisdom. Now, that's the key to the closing verses of this chapter. You need wisdom. If you have bitter envying and strife in your hearts, glory not and lie not against the truth. Don't pretend. Don't say that you are sinlessly perfect. Don't say that you don't do anything wrong. Just admit that you do have these evil things in your hearts. Now, that's the source of all the evil things that come out of the tongue in this chapter. You have these things in your heart. Now, there are two sources, as we've been saying, The first one is given in verses 15 and 16. This wisdom descendeth not from above, but is earthly, sensual, and devilish. Sensual just means natural, just the natural nature that you were born with. For where envying and strife is, there is confusion and every evil work. Now, chapter 2 is telling us about the evil works of those who do not have true faith in Christ. This is all you can expect from one who has never been born again. But verse 17 says, the wisdom that is from above. Now, if you have not received the gospel, if you have not believed in the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, then, of course, you have not yet received wisdom from above, for that's the first wisdom that you need, the wisdom of the gospel story. And then if you're getting wisdom from above, that is, through the reading of God's Word, spending time in communion with the Lord daily, it will produce seven wonderful things given in verse 17. It is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, easy to be entreated, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. Now, this is what will happen when the Lord produces in our hearts what He would like to have there. And the result will be the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace of them that make peace. Not effort, but fruit. The fruit is produced by the new life, the Holy Spirit living within. And so there is peace Godward and manward. This is a far cry from the evil that's brought about by an uncontrolled tongue in the early part of this chapter. If you don't know the Lord Jesus as your Savior, do trust Him right away.